number one, the Ridgewood South Precinct Plan, Precinct Q of Complete Communities Direction Strategy. Okay, and we will start with our applicant today. Landmark Planning, represented by Donovan Taves, popular name these days. And we will offer you, because you're the applicant, sir, a reasonable extension of the 5 minutes. So we'll hope you can complete it in a reasonable time, okay?
You're okay, on the clock. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Thank you, councillors. And gone are the days of toes. It's finally really actually Taves most of the places I go, thanks to Jonathan Taves and the Hawks. I guess where, with respect to the time and the process, we've got a substantial team behind us, and rather than each of them speaking for 5 minutes to get through the presentation, our thought was that we would have one person present the presentation. It would probably be about 40 minutes. We've got about 2 years of work to convey to you in terms of the process and in terms of the actual contents of the plan, so if committee's okay with that, then we would proceed that way. All right. If it starts getting boring, I'll rush it. Thank you for that. And then in addition to walking through the precinct plan, there are some changes since the time that we've submitted the plan and today. There's been ongoing conversations with stakeholders and with internal stakeholders at the City of Winnipeg, and so there are some additional changes. Most of them are errors, omissions, but there are a couple of additional policies that we'd like to draw attention to the committee following the presentation, if that's okay. Already on. So this is our team. In addition to myself, there's Kerwood Atia in our office, who's not here tonight. Stantec Consulting, Doug Scott, Bob Karelko here monitoring the computer. Len Chambers, and also on our team is the group from Native Plant Solutions, who've been very helpful in creating a biological inventory for the precinct and preparing recommendations coming out of that inventory. Has not been done before, to my knowledge, in the City of Winnipeg. So we're pleased to be pushing that envelope with respect to this area because of the special attention that's been placed on this area. We've also worked very closely with the City of Winnipeg departments, particularly the Planning, Property, and Development, as well as with the City Naturalist. Precinct plans, this is for the benefit of those in the room, not just the committee, just so that we're all on the same page in terms of what we're talking about. What is a precinct plan? It's required by Plan Winnipeg, or our Winnipeg, pardon me. To our knowledge, there's only been one precinct plan to date. So this is a new vehicle, a new tool, and we find it to be very important. Previously, before our Winnipeg mandated precinct plans, people or individuals or companies would be able to subdivide and develop one neighborhood at a time, and some may have thought that was a good thing. However, it does come with some cost, and without a precinct plan such as this, the provision or anticipation of local interconnections or community-wide infrastructure between neighborhoods was much harder to achieve, so we think this is a very good tool to be preparing for the city to use going forward. Precinct plans will regulate development. They will allow for the creation of properly designed road systems, effective drainage systems, including lakes that create opportunities for use by both residents and wildlife, integrated park and pathway systems. We've never had that tool before. Areas 800-900 acres, if they were developed one at a time, very challenging from administration to administration to try and ensure there's an overall plan for such a large area. So also allowing for a mix of housing types. One important note for all present is that this precinct plan is not development. We're not looking at a development. We're looking at a plan that regulates development. And our job as this team was to prepare a plan that will regulate development to create good, cohesive neighborhoods that suit our Winnipeg and its policies. Next. This is the map most people will be familiar with if you've opened our Winnipeg. This map shows the precinct areas that will require precinct plans in the City of Winnipeg. Interestingly, Charleswood has five of them. You can see our precinct Q at the top of that blow up to the left of the slide, and then M, N, O, and P, all south of Wilkes, will eventually require precinct plans to ensure proper development. You can just go when I turn the page. Our Winnipeg anticipates that we will need to accommodate 180,000 new residents by 2031. For those of us who live in cities that think growth is important to cities and it creates dynamism and that cities should grow, that's a good thing. It does present a challenge for accommodating all those new residents. Over that time period, and again for those of us who are still thinking it's the 90s, that's only 18 years up to 2031. In 18 years, that means about 75,000 new homes. So if Ridgewood, if this plan at full build-out accommodates only 6,000 to 8,000 of those, that suggests that we're going to need to accommodate residents in other areas as well of the city. And in terms of the third bullet there, it's important as a city to realize that we need all forms of development. Clearly, this is a suburban at-the-edge development. It's not sprawl. It's not leapfrogging. It's continuous, orderly, planned development and at densities that are increasing over time. So we think that's also a good thing. And the point here is that Ridgewood South is only one part of a solution that this entire city needs. The direction of our Winnipeg is not, in this case, whether to develop. That's already been set. It's how to develop, and that's why this precinct plan is important. A little bit about new communities. This slide is also out of our Winnipeg. It shows Precinct Q again there on the bottom left. I won't touch on this given that we want to try and speed it along. This slide simply shows the boundaries of the precinct area. Those were established after quite a bit of discussion. They may seem to obvious as you look at them, but there was quite a bit of discussion derived as to what infrastructure would be needed to service an area like this. And so vacant parcels to the north of the Hart Trail, for example, were included because without a proper plan, they would continue to be basically cause leapfrog development beyond those borders. So where's my picture? Rannoch is here, Eldridge is here, Ridgewood is here, Wilkes is here, and Perimeter Highway at that end. This slide tells a real story for those of us in this business of consultation and planning, perhaps development. That shows a fragmented landscape. That's why one reason why preparing a precinct plan for an area like this is extremely challenging. It's why it's taken 2 years and not 3 or 4 months. Basically because it's fragmented. So for every color you see on that plan, that's a single owner. The largest owner is Qualico, which owns all of the yellow colored lands, and then there are a series of smaller owners, all of whom have different expectations, or at least there's a series of expectations among those landowners, and there's a series of expectations from people who live right adjacent to the precinct, some looking forward to the opportunity of new neighborhoods and new homes and parks and so on, and some not. And I'm sure that we've certainly heard those people, and we don't discredit those opinions, and we've treated those respectfully over the last couple of years. But that in mind, we should keep in mind the consensus on the total document has not been a goal. That's an unrealistic expectation, but we've worked very hard to listen and integrate, as part of the presentation we'll deal with, integrate other people's thoughts and opinions and ideas. Click it a bunch of times. So these are the sub-areas. In order to start talking about this area, because it's so diverse and because it's quite large and because each area has some unique aspects to it, we decided to create a framework so that it could be more easily talk about with people in the city, people in the neighborhood, even on our own team. So this is simply a framework for talking about the areas within the precinct. It's not a chronological map, so it doesn't go left to right in terms of what will happen first and next. We will show a phasing plan that does talk about phasing and staging. But it's simply areas 1 through 7 are south of the Hart Trail, and then areas 8 through 11 are north of the Hart Trail. So that sort of forms the north-south division. And then from east to west, it's generally divided by the major streets in Charlesworth. Please feel free to stop me if I'm going too quickly or if you have any questions as we go along. Next, please. We thought we would convey a few key messages before we go into the next portion, which talks about our consultation process. We think it's important to take the time tonight to digest this plan and review what this plan does and how it has been prepared. We think it's important that everybody in the room is able to wear the hat of a citizen of Winnipeg as well as a citizen, if you're a citizen of Charleswood or an adjacent neighbor, to be looking at the city as a whole and thinking about it from that perspective. We think those two perspectives can coexist. If you happen to be an adjacent neighbor, you are also a citizen, and we would encourage people to try and wear both hats in considering this information. We also think it's important to recognize all the work that must follow this precinct plan. So this isn't an end. As the committee would appreciate, there are neighborhood plans that will follow, and those will also need to go through rigorous preparation and scrutiny in terms of meeting the plans, the policies of the precinct plan, and moving up to our Winnipeg as well. This is the second portion of the presentation. There's three portions. This portion deals with the public consultation effort. We think it is substantial. It certainly is substantial compared to other public consultation efforts for other projects. There have been many good ones, of course, but this one is quite lengthy and thorough in terms of the kind of work that I've done and other members of my team have carried out. So I'll just very briefly explain this diagram. There are three rounds, round one, round two, and round three, starting back here in May of 2011. We had a meeting with landowners in the precinct. We started to engage stakeholders, various stakeholders like Friends of Hart Trail or Charleswood Historical Society and those kinds. That's what I mean by stakeholder meetings. Eventually, CCHP, or Citizens for Charleswood Habitat Preservation, formed around this precinct plan preparation and future development, and we started to engage them as well along the way, and I'll speak more about that later. And then we culminated round one with a public open house, so that if people weren't involved in this set of meetings or in some organized fashion, they could be a part of the process in an open house setting. We want to emphasize that we don't just do open houses, or in this case, we didn't simply hold open houses. We engage people face-to-face over time, repeatedly, and throughout. Question?
Breakup of these, was it for certain regions? Because you're categorizing 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of different regions. Was the consultation about, you know, segment 1, 2, 3, and 4 together, or is it kind of the whole plan?
It was the whole plan.
Okay, so three rounds of the whole plan.
The rounds then, were you thinking of these rounds or these circles?
Yeah, the rounds,
The rounds. So then this round of consultation was to find out issues and concerns and ideas, so very, very early. It's always a dilemma to how early do you go? Do you go with no plans whatsoever? Or do you go with some plans and start talking? It's a real challenge in consultation. So we gained insight here. We let people know what we were doing. We communicated information. And on the basis of that, and keeping in mind all of our conversations with internal city departments and our own experts in their various fields, we prepared a draft set of concepts. Then we go through that whole process again with those drafts to talk about those concepts. Out of that, we prepare a preferred concept and policies to go with it, which is starting to form the plan that you're considering tonight. And then we take that, and we went through again, starting January 2012, through that same procedure. So a very thorough set of discussions. It's impossible to talk to everyone, and not everybody just chooses to participate. We made a major effort at notification. We always do a very good job of that, we feel. Somehow, even after 2 years and many, many, many meetings, there will still be people who haven't heard of it and may be even here for the first time. And that's okay. This is another opportunity for feedback. Yeah, we did. We always try and communicate in a number of ways, and in this case, we did that. We used Canada Post for postal code drops, which we get a little postcard in every envelope within a postal code area. We take out ads in the Herald or in the Free Press. We put community posters in prominent locations. We start an email list and send emails out. We send letters to particular stakeholders. So we did all of those in every case. The idea is, of course, not to hide, but to engage and to try and get people to engage in the plan sooner than later. So that's our objective. We submitted this precinct plan draft, but we continue to have meetings with certain stakeholder groups, and then we finalized the precinct plan in draft purposes to the city, and here we are at this arrow here. I mentioned stakeholders. These next two slides list the stakeholders and the meetings dates. In some cases, we met more than once. So you see governments and schools, the Pemina Trail School Division, the PSFB, CNR, MIT, Arm of Headingley, Arm of McDonald, City of Winnipeg departments. Community groups, some of them I mentioned already, ongoing meetings between April 2011 and August 2012 from the Friends of Hart Trail, CCHP, the Charleswood Historical Society, existing Charleswood residents through the open houses that we noted, Varsity View Community Club, Roblin Community Club, Charleswood Minor Baseball Association back in May of 2011, the Charleswood Rotary Club, various interests in terms of dogs. There was a lot of early in the precinct planning process, an issue that's actually outside of the precinct, to the north of the precinct, in terms of the Bill Clement Parkway running through the informal dog park. Wasn't related to the precinct plan, per se, and more of a regional issue, but we did want to find out about that issue and see how we could
bridge where the Bill Clement Parkway, Charles Golf Course, where it ends there, and Grant, right? Yeah.
Again, it's well outside the precinct, but we don't want to just ignore comments that come up and other groups. A few charts, a series of charts here. I won't go into detail with all of them, but as much as I can give the committee a flavor of the discussions, that might provide some insight into your decision-making. The top three most important issues, and these are not scientific. These results come from people attending an open house and choosing to fill out a respondent feedback form. So we always ask for feedback, and we try to find a pattern, and we try and take specifics out of that feedback we get. Heart Trail was obviously a very popular topic. It's a community asset. A lot of the policies in the plan recognize the importance of this community asset. Physically, it runs through the entire precinct, east to west, and it serves as a really good means of connecting neighborhoods. So again, we've talked to Heart Trail at length about the Heart Trail, and we'll talk about it a little further in the presentation. Parks and open space, traffic, always a concern. Any, one new house or two new houses typically will concern people in terms of additional traffic. In this case, we're talking about new neighborhoods entirely. So clearly people would be concerned about traffic and potential to impact their streets that they live on. Drainage, future roads, existing roads, and so on. Along the same lines, but more sentence kind of format, people indicating they'd like to preserve the unique character of Charleswood, talking about the green space allotment, talking about cut-through traffic, so that sort of mirrors the previous slide. Property values, people concerned the property values would go up or their taxes would go up. An odd one, we don't usually see this, general support for development, and I will make this comment that my experience in doing this kind of work, typically you don't have people coming out in support. I'm sure the councillors have seen that as well. It's very difficult when a lot of people might agree with it or not care about it. They don't tend to come out and provide you their commentary. So when we do see positive written feedback, it is an indication we consider it strongly. It's never the biggest thing, but being in the top five here is important to us. Next. So the next 8, 9, or 10 slides, I'm definitely not going to go through line by line, but what you're going to look at here is we take the comments that people provide us and then we categorize them into topics to get a feel or flavor for the specific concerns. And then once in a while you also get productive ideas that you can incorporate or questions that cause you to think and maybe change the policies that you write. So there is a real connection between what people are saying and the policies that we're preparing and writing. So I'll just pick some, and anyone who can see the screen can read whatever comments you like to pick out of there, but I won't read them all out. But you can see all these comments dealing with the need for traffic calming, the idea of dead ending through streets at the Heart Trail, and you see our plan actually it does implement that a couple of times. The need to minimize through traffic, no additional through traffic across the Heart Trail, and we have policies that address these things. More development will cause more traffic. And so on. Comments regarding transit, cycling, and walking, and the need for essentially more trails, more transit opportunities, and more cycling possibilities. Existing infrastructure, fair bit of concern about drainage in Charleswood, and concern that new development would poorly affect, adversely affect existing drainage. Condition of the roads, concern about safety and children's safety. Not being any sidewalks in Charleswood, I think, is a challenge in terms of people walking on the sides of the roads. We'll be proposing something different. The precinct plan will require something different of new developments in Charleswood.
The drainage?
Yeah.
So, you're talking about the ditches, I'm assuming. Is that...
drainage, overland, like wet areas too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of soggy areas, and you know, people would say if they're soggy now and you add development, they'll get soggier or things like that, that kind of a concern, which is a legitimate concern. The answer, if we're getting into that, is that no. You know, based on the city of Winnipeg's rules are that you must maintain pre-development flow rates and you cannot adversely affect drainage in an existing area. In a lot of cases, probably it will improve drainage because right now water in a lot of areas has nowhere to go. And in the case of installing large pipes, if a community or, you know, a street wants to hook up, then they'll have that opportunity. Right now, they don't have that opportunity. No one will be mandated to do it, but they'll have that opportunity if the street desires.
That's a local improvement.
Local improvement.
That would be a local improvement?
That would be a local improvement. So my point isn't that this precinct will give people free infrastructure. My point is that this precinct won't adversely affect any existing infrastructure, and it will provide a window for future infrastructure. So it's neutral and then positive. It's not negative in terms of that infrastructure. There was a lot of discussion about the William R. Clement Parkway and the need to extend it, and we will talk about that in the transportation section. I should also mention, oh, I guess I have, okay, it's okay. Wilkes has its own slide. A lot of talk about Wilkes. Wilkes is fairly busy right now. The intersections are poor. There's no acceleration or deceleration lanes. There's concern that, you know, development will make that situation worse. So we have policies, which we'll talk about, that will indicate improvements to Wilkes intersections. Yeah. And then a series of three more slides, but other questions and ideas that came up. And again, these are not exhaustive. I've selected comments. I've included positive and negative comments, to be fair.
Don, sorry, just a quick question. You mentioned about, just in your previous, I think it was previous slide, previous comment, just about Wilkes. So what was your...
About which?
About Wilkes Avenue?
Yes.
What, could you just...
Can I elaborate it on in
sure.
the plan?
Yeah,
I'm just raising it as people's concern that Wilkes will, you know, the development will exacerbate
right.
problems on Wilkes now.
Okay.
But the plan addresses that to a certain degree, and the committee can consider how well it does that.
Right, okay.
Sound barriers, an idea for overpass from Grant to Wilkes, the need for four-way stop signs. Again, these are individuals' comments. These aren't us saying we should do these things or a whole group saying we should do these things. Enhanced streets at no extra cost to residents. Use clover leaves. Put drainage going west with the perimeter along with sewage, and so on. So we've considered all of these issues, as I pointed to in the process chart throughout, and we've taken those issues seriously. It's sometimes hard to see how they've been integrated or... You know, as you integrate these comments into products and into policies, then later people forget that there's been integration of a lot of those ideas. And there's always some ideas that remain or concerns that remain that are not addressed. And sometimes the focus ends up on that and not on all of the other things that have been addressed. So we encourage everyone to be mindful of the amount of integration that has taken place. That was all round one, so I'm going to zip through round two and round three in the interest of time. More charts in these. But we ask people, you know, where do they live when they fill out these surveys, when they attend the open house. We want to make sure that we have a good cross-section of geography in terms of where people live. So in this one, no, can you go back? In this one, about three-quarters of the people live in that, this blue one, three-quarters in Charleswood north of the precinct. And then just a small amount in Charleswood, south of the precinct. It's not very populated south of the precinct. A good chunk of people living within the precinct boundary itself, and then some living elsewhere in Winnipeg. We ask whether people attended a previous meeting because we want to know if we're having continuity from round to round to make sure that we're not losing people and also that we're continually engaging new people. And that's what this pie chart shows, and we did this in round three as well, but it shows about half of the people that filled out this survey at that open house said they had not been at a previous meeting, so that's good because we engaged new people and more people. And then we do have continuity in the sense that we have about 20% here who had been to multiple meetings before this one, about 20% who had been to the previous open house, 4% who had been at a landowner meeting, and then 1% who had been at a consultant meeting. So we had continuity and exposure to new residents at each stage. This one I really like to talk about because I see this as a trend in other consultation and planning projects. People, if you engage well enough, and again, you're not going to get everybody engaged. There's always some who don't want to see any sort of change or don't want to be engaged, but we do what we can. What we find is even if people are anxious about something, they appreciate the effort at being engaged, and we usually get 90%, even if it's controversial, saying they appreciated the opportunity to speak and have input. This question asks, what do you think about the concept plan components? Recall this is in round two when we had several designs and options for road designs and land configurations. What you're looking at is the Greens were positive about all of these individual elements. So overall concept one, overall concept two, overall concept three. We had a few perimeter access concepts. We had different Ridgewood corridor roadway options. We had lake concepts. New active transportation, bus, HART Trail, land use, Bill Clement Parkway, and public reserve concepts. So green, yellow is not sure yet, which is a completely fair comment. And red, don't like. So keeping in mind my comments from before, that to have this much green and yellow is encouraging. To have this much red just meant we need to do more discussion and more work to try and address those issues that people were concerned about. In the interest of time, I'm going to move through these. The commentary that we showed you in round one. We also compiled people's comments through round two. And I would say that you do notice a trend that people generally had moved from saying no, still there would be people saying no to the whole idea of a precinct plan, to slightly more constructive comments in terms of what they'd like to see, what they'd liked and didn't like about the various options. So those are reflected in these comments. And again, if the committee would like to me to dwell on these further, I don't want to rush along and skip over things that you'd like to hear more about. So please stop me if that's the case. So we're just flipping through the various topics. Maybe I should touch on. Is it all right if I touch on them a little bit? Okay, let's go back to AT. People saying active transportation is not viable because of the ditches, although that would have assumed that there would be ditches in the new development, which isn't the case. A desire to increase active transportation. Some ideas, make Eldridge cycle friendly. Active transportation is a good idea. The HART Trail should not become an active transportation route. We heard quite clearly from friends of HART Trail that they were concerned that the HART Trail would not become a very busy cycling route, for example. So they're looking for some separation from AT use to its current use. So taste of AT and transit. HART Trail, again, a lot of emphasis regarding making sure that the HART Trail's current character is kept as it is to the greatest degree possible. Whenever you see a times number, that indicates that many people said that comment, and they're sort of ranked in terms of frequency. As I say, it's not a science. A number of people didn't like the HART Trail junction at the Bill Clement Parkway. A real challenge there where the Bill Clement Parkway is planned to go through. It must bisect the HART Trail, and we've had to find some way to minimize that impact and find another way to treat the HART Trail respectfully and carefully, and we think we've done that in working with the Friends of the HART Trail. Crossing at the perimeter would be great. No new crossings of the trail. And other questions that you can peruse there. A lot of discussion on public reserve areas, I suspect, and I know through our work with CCHP, we've worked closely right up until, you know, weeks before this hearing, and I will have comments regarding our specific comments, conversations with CCHP. But we're very clear that the expectation for this particular area of Winnipeg seems to be higher than other areas of Winnipeg. And we've heard clearly that there's a formal expectation of 25% public reserve instead of the traditional 10% in the city and in other cities in North America. And that's okay. That's fine. We have a couple of ideas that move us along that continuum. Lakes. Usual fears of lakes are that they're mosquito breeding grounds and nice places for geese. The naturalized retention ponds that are mandated in this precinct plan and that have been demonstrated by companies such as LADCO and Qualico, they're really quite impressive as they grow up. If you haven't toured one, you should tour one. Have a look at them. They're quite nice. The geese can land in them, but because of the way they're planted, and we can have our Native Plant Solutions folks speak more about this, the geese won't walk out of the pond. So it's kind of neat how that they get managed. And with proper maintenance, these lakes are also not mosquito breeding grounds. It's more standing water in people's yards and ditches that don't drain that create mosquito breeding grounds. Other comments about the lakes? Land use areas. Some people feeling that there's no commercial zone needed. We will show you the land use plan, and the amount, there is some commercial that's shown in the proposed precinct plan. Area 7 needs single-family housing. Area 7 multifamily housing will create too much traffic. Multifamily housing will bring crime and vandalism to the Hart Trail. You know, if you've been out in the public, these comments do come up. People are generally afraid of multifamily development. Generally, there's a concern that they bring a demographic that causes crime, although that hasn't been proven in the statistics that I've seen. No big parking lots or big box stores. Would like to see a higher mix of land uses. More comments regarding the William R. Clement Parkway extension, the very popular comment that it should connect to Wilkes. A number of people saying they want to see that built before any development occurs, and we will certainly be talking about that. Extend it quickly, but don't hold up development. Enough room? Is there enough room for the Bill Clement Parkway and other concerns about the Bill Clement Parkway? Perimeter access, there are a mix of comments regarding the perimeter access. In the plan, you'll see there is no perimeter access. We studied it this way and that way and concluded very easily that it's not warranted for the amount of traffic that would use it in the traffic models that both Genevar and Stantec prepared. It's not even close to being warranted for the cost that's required. So that explains why you don't see it in the plan. And then again, other comments that came up. Don't like the development, so there's people who just don't want to see anything change. Don't want to lose the rural culture and character of Charleswood. Concern over the loss of habitat and wildlife. How will existing roads handle the traffic? And so on. There's three of these, so I'm going to move through. And just because I'm moving through them quickly here, I don't want to leave you with the impression that we didn't carefully consider these and talk about them and work our policies around a lot of these concerns. Again, for round three, did you attend a previous consultation event? So again, you see that we're getting new people in the red, and we're getting people who've attended a lot of the previous consultation in the greens. Discussions about land uses. So on the left, you see the areas. So the areas I outlined, areas 1 through 11 in the precinct area. This means single family and mixed use land, mixed land use in area 1. What do you think about that? This means having only single family in area 2. What do you think about that? And so on. So again, this red has been shrinking based on previous rounds, and the green has been growing. Doesn't mean the work is finished, but does suggest a direction. I guess the one thing I did want to point out in this slide and the next slide is the repeated reds. So if you go back to the last one, when we look at this, if you're familiar with demographics and statistics related to demographics, when you have red in every category, that most of these people, if they said no to one of these, they said no to all of them. So what that tells you is that they don't want development. It's not that the commentary is not necessarily about what we were asking. You know, do you like single family and mixed use in area 1? It might have been, I don't like any use in those areas. And if we go into the raw data, you can see that pattern. And same on the next slide, although I will point out the amount of support or neutrality on most of these features in the transportation plan. The William R. Clement Parkway, the Wilkes intersections, the north-south cutoffs. The north-south cutoffs, we'll explain it when we get to the transportation plan, but basically what we've done to address or minimize north-south new cut-through traffic is to cut a lot of those north-south streets off, so to speak, and run them into a loop collector within the precinct. So it discourages that movement from Wilkes straight up through to Roblin for people who just want to get through the neighborhood. It makes that much less desirable. And when we ran the models for the various plans, we ran this one was far superior to any of the other models that didn't do that. And so we've really managed to not eliminate, obviously, cars. People have to go to the schools and to the stores, and we want people to get around the city, and we don't want them to be isolated in the Longclave. So we want that integration, but we end up reducing and minimizing the impact to existing streets. What do you think of the active transportation concept? A bunch of people didn't like it at all. Well, not a bunch, I guess 12%. A good portion liking it and a good portion not sure. Park components, everybody loves parks, although, interestingly, not everybody likes parks. Hart Trail, I guess, you know, to be fair, a lot of, like, this portion of people who were concerned would be concerned that the Hart Trail would be negatively impacted. There would be too many connections, for example, to the Hart Trail. So we've tried to actually get the balance between connecting enough to the Hart Trail to make sure it's integrated and then on not overwhelming it. It's a tricky balance. The trail system, paths on the lakes, the corridors, the lakes themselves, and active parks. Key issue summary, I'll run through each of these, just reading them out. Preservation enhancement of the Hart Trail, preservation enhancement of existing natural areas, the two big ones. Urban wildlife and wildlife habitats, potential traffic impact to existing north-south streets, William R. Clement Parkway construction timing, Wilkes Avenue, housing density, location and extent of commercial and mixed-use development, landowner equity for development costs and public amenity. People want to be, landowners want to be sure they would be treated fairly. They wouldn't get an undue amount of park space, you know, rendering their land non-developable, or they would have access to roads that would be provided, or they would have to pay their fair share of the cost. So bringing back that picture of the number of landowners in the precinct, these are comments mostly from those folks. Timing of development. Three slides here in terms of the major stakeholders. And then we're almost through this section of the presentation. The CCHP, the Citizens for Charleswood Habitat Preservation, I specifically wanted to note that the meetings were very high quality and productive, and I expect you'll hear the same from those who are speaking for CCHP. They've indicated they're not an anti-development group, and that's been clear from the beginning, and that's helped a lot because our job is to prepare a plan to have high-quality, organized development. So our job was not to go out and ask, do you want development? Ours was to prepare a good plan. So that actually helped us work well together. Many of the concerns were alleviated. I hope that those are highlighted from CCHP. Numerous positive changes were made. And again, there is a sticking point. And I expect you'll hear about that. And the sticking point is the amount of public reserve expectations. Friends of the Hart Trail, again, excellent feedback and working relationship with the trail stewards. We've noted the Hart Trail is a vital community linkage role in the precinct and, of course, to existing Charleswood, goes without saying. And the Hart Trail is protected wherever possible, and you can judge for yourself whether we've done a good job of that. It will be enhanced by the plan and its policies. I do believe you received a letter of support today. I have copies, if you have not received it, from the Friends of the Hart Trail indicating the good working relationship and their satisfaction with the plan vis-a-vis the Hart Trail. And then the Charleswood Historical Society, again, we were very pleased to work with them to incorporate heritage elements into the plan. We include some proposed naming policies, and one of the amendments I mentioned is a naming policy. They're progressive and encouraging. They're more far-reaching than any of the naming policies that exist today in the city. So we think that's a good direction. It includes street naming, but also an opportunity for trail naming, park naming, and possibly lake naming. The second letter you would have received is a letter of support from the Charleswood Historical Society indicating, again, a good working relationship and very pleased with the policies as they're proposed in the plan. So the process was quite thorough, we feel. We feel that it was transparent and respectful in both directions. Feedback was received and incorporated throughout the process, not just at the end. It's a big one in public consultation. We believe it resulted in a much stronger plan than had we not engaged people. And again, consensus is not possible. However, we don't want to overlook the points on which we've all agree are good. So the last section in this presentation is the precinct plan itself. We can get into the guts of of it. At least we'll give the committee a taste of it. There are policies, and then there are the figures or the plans. And the policies relate to the figures in most cases. In some cases, the policies don't have no geography related to them. The plan is intended to guide and regulate each subsequent subdivision. So again, if there isn't this plan in place, you have a harder time creating quality neighborhoods that are linked to each other in a larger community. I mentioned the list of corrections we'll submit. This is what the table of contents looks like. It's got an introduction. We talk about the planning area and define it. That's very important because some people, if you're on the other side of the line, are differently affected. We summarize the public input process, what I just presented to the committee. We state the vision and the goals. We provide a land use concept, and then there's five plates, basically, figures. The land use concept, starting in section six, the land use policy areas and symbols, the transportation policies, the infrastructure policies, the cost sharing, and the phasing. And then there's some generic boilerplate, the development policies you should see in every precinct plan, as well as the interpretation section. The vision, there's much more wording in the precinct plan, but I selected this. I'm going to read it. The City of Winnipeg is planned and designed based on a logical urban structure that focuses growth and change to enhance existing assets, to create complete communities, and complete existing communities. So those are words we think are important here, because if you think about Charleswood and this area, those are very relevant phrases. And to enhance a socially, environmentally, and economically sustainable future, generally those are thought of as motherhood and apple pie kind of words. But we find them meaningful in this case. Through the integration of transportation planning, land uses, built form, and urban design. The vision. New communities, which Precinct Q is a new community in our Winnipeg. It's been identified as such because it's serviceable, not unserviceable. It's of sufficient size, as we can tell, it's quite large. It's contiguous with existing developed areas. So it's not leapfrogging. There's no vacant lands in between these lands. There's no other lands that need to be planned between these and existing development. It's accessible. Clearly, there are many, many road connections. And it meets the requirement of area supply and demand, which we talked about earlier in the presentation. There are six directions for new communities, and these are important because as we read these, if you're thinking about the precinct area, you can test for yourself whether these directions are being achieved. New communities will be developed in a sustainable manner. New communities will be established through a planning process. New communities will increase opportunities to live, work, learn, and play in the same neighborhood. New communities will be developed with complete streets, enabling safe and convenient spaces for pedestrians, bicyclists, public transit ridership, and motorists to promote physical activity, health, and active transportation. I don't recognize that ringtone. Direction 5, encourage green development and conserve natural areas to develop new communities in a sustainable manner. We'll be talking about that. Direction 6, reflect local heritage in the development of new communities. We feel that we've accomplished all of these directions. Now we're into the five plans, or maps, if you will. I'll spend a little bit of time describing the legend and the structure of the precinct. So what this plan shows is the land uses that would be allowed. People, of course, would still need to rezone. These are land designations that show the direction of what's intended. So what we see is the Heart Trail as a spine through the center here, green. This is Wilkes down here. And it might be hard to see, but certainly on the plans you have in front of you, you'll be able to see the Collector Road loop. It's the gray lines. I'll touch on this briefly. I'll wait till the transportation section. This is the collector loop system that's being proposed. You can see that Area 1, for example, has primarily single family. That's low density residential. There are more specific policies in the words of the document that allow for more dense development on the collector roads. If there's a desire to do multifamily of higher density, it should be carried out at these collector road intersections, and you see 1, 2, 3, 4 areas where we think that's appropriate. There is an opportunity for very small amount of mixed use. We don't think that the commercial market says big box in this area. There's plenty of that down the road to the east. We also don't want to preclude the opportunity to have a dry cleaner or I guess the days of the movie stores are gone, but a convenience store or whatever other small local commercial. And we think those are best happening further south, not up here in the north, but further south where there's good access to the collector road system and it stays away from people who have existing homes. Generally, there's quite a lot of concern about commercial adjacent to existing residential. So there's a number of reasons for these nodes. This is the Varsity View Community Center, MarGD Park. Pardon me, Varsity View Sportsplex and MarGD Park, it's existing. And then Area 7 over here. And Area 8, 9, 10, 11 are purely single family, out of respect for the existing single family on three sides of those areas. It's basically infill development. By LEED standards, that would be considered infill development. It's got 75% of its boundaries on existing development. Any questions? But maybe I'll stop for questions at each of these five. There are layers, so the next layers deal with parks and lakes, and the next layers deal with roads, and so on and so on. So I can continue, or you can stop me.
Just a quick question. So the blue areas, you're saying that's mixed. That's where potentially mixed use could,
Yes.
Yeah. And so how far from residential development is that? Like, is there...
This one?
Please? I meant actually the two nodes, I guess, are lack of better term. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Councillor.
Yeah, the two, well, all of them, I guess, essentially, but more the two that are...
These two?
Yeah.
How far? What did we estimate the width of this was? 400 meters.
400 meters.
Up to the Hart Trail.
Yeah. That's 400 meters from there to the Hart
Trail.
Well,
and I guess what might be a better indicator is if here's Roblin.
Yeah.
And what can I point out? The high school down here. So that's high school's halfway between Wilkes and Roblin. So you can kind of see how far this would be, say, from existing development here,
okay,
or here, or here. The fair distance. When you stand out in a field and you look at it, it looks pretty close. But when you start, it's like your empty room at home. You put furniture in it, and everything looks different.
And what is the density for those? Like, the medium density is like 7, right? 7 per acre?
Sorry?
The density?
Well, it would be regulated mostly by height and bulk.
Right.
We wouldn't really regulate density. There are some density policies. Maybe, James, if you want to elaborate on density, I'm all right with that.
That's okay. Keep them up.
Or Mr. Planner. Correct term. Okay, I'll carry on. Precinct plan, the Greenway Network. This is quite exciting. It looks maybe not exciting in terms of like a lot of spaghetti, but again, we haven't had a lot of opportunity other than some of the newer neighborhoods to tie neighborhoods together. And the Greenway Network is quite an exciting concept in terms of allowing people the opportunity to walk from this neighborhood to this one, to this one, to this one, to this one, and in a looped fashion. Lakes, naturalized lakes along the Greenway corridor, as well as destinations such as the Varsity View Sportsplex and MarGD Park. Connections to the Hart Trail here, 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 and here. And then these neighborhoods north of the Hart Trail need to provide for pedestrian movement into existing Charleswood. So the idea is not to build a fence between new Charleswood and old Charleswood. We think it makes a lot of sense to continue Charleswood, give neighborhoods in the north and families in the north opportunity to stay in Charleswood in new homes and to integrate the two. Like I said, we want to protect on the traffic front, but we want to provide an integrated network so that in 20, 30, 40 years from now, looking from above, you see an integrated neighborhood. You don't see a chunk of Charleswood and then another unconnected chunk of Charleswood. To us, that would be bad planning. So this is why we show integration. And we use the Greenway Network as opposed to roads to integrate neighborhood within the precinct and integrate neighborhoods in the precinct to existing neighborhoods. There is, along the collector road system, there will be an active transportation route and facilities along all the collector roads. There will be sidewalks on both sides of the collector roads. There will be pathways in addition to all three of those connecting to each feature connecting to the other feature. So there'll be a multiplicity of ways to get around other than your car, which we think is neat.
Networks, like is it like...
There's no width, so actually the parks gave us a good new definition of the Greenway Network, which we like. But the idea is that you link components. So you link lakes, as opposed to you know, in a lot of the, we sort of, since the 70s, started to learn about lakes in Winnipeg. We started digging them, and then they were kind of isolated ponds, and the people who had, you know, yards on those lakes enjoyed them, but they weren't really integrated in any sense. So we want to make sure they're integrated, so you can walk along a lake, for instance. That's a new idea in the last number of decades. And if you can walk along one lake, you should be able to connect and walk along another lake, and so on. So these components follow the Greenway network. So you have a pathway that defines it, you have lakes that define it, and you have parks that define it, small parks and large parks. So there's no width, per se. Like I said, I want to inform the committee best I can. Over the last 2 years, there's a lot of material, so I'm trying to give you the best parts, the hardest parts, too.
I didn't know we were just jumping in and asking questions, so we're going to have to go back because I have a whole bunch. So this document that you just delivered to us at 4 o'clock, the planners haven't even had a chance to look at it. And so when I look at the Greenway network, you've made a significant change in what's going on over the Clement Parkway potential extension. What is that? Can you explain it?
Yeah, I sure can. It's probably best explained. No, on the figure six, yeah, this one, the Greenway. We were called into a meeting less than a week ago with Public Works. And the concern was from Public Works that the location of that William R. Clement Parkway intersection with Ridgewood was too far south. We had moved it south to try and minimize impact of the Hart Trail. Through discussion with Public Works, we realized, and they helped us realize, that it was better to be where it was in the first place, and the potential or the impact to the Hart Trail was the same in both cases. So what it does is it moves the intersection so that the arterial road heading east, Ridgewood, heading east out of the Bill Clement Parkway, ends up north of the Hart Trail. Okay? And as it travels east, through to halfway through Area 7, it dips down south of the Hart Trail in a roundabout. And that was quickly, because, you know, we were surprised as well. We didn't want Hart Trail folks to be surprised here. So we managed to, Public Works was good enough to have a meeting with us and the Hart Trail people right away, and we talked through that, and they understand why it's being done, and they understand, you know, both scenarios are the same. They also are clear that the mitigation plan, if you will, rerouting the Hart Trail northerly is a good solution. So I don't expect them to be surprised by this. Those who might not be in communication with the executive of the Hart Trail, you know, might not have that word yet, but we feel we managed that one the best we could and quite well.
So in the plan that we have, the red dotted line was a required conceptual Greenway network, and the red dotted line is now recreational pathway.
Yeah.
And the green is a cycling facility, whereas before it was an active transportation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so I don't mean to get right into the minutia, but this was just handed.
It's frustrating
to you, so.
For me and our team as well, and for everyone on all sides, but this is the nature of the beast. People start to discover things, and then this is the last chance. This is the last chance to get changes in. Otherwise, we're into plan amendments. So people from inside and outside are scrambling sometimes to make these changes. A lot of the changes are not meant to distract you folks or us. They're just clarifications. And as you get closer to a product, especially one as complex as this, you're bound to have small edits. And as uncomfortable as it is, that's the explanation. Okay.
Order, sir. You know what? If you have a question, you'll have your opportunity when the applicant's finished, and I'm quite happy to remove you from the chamber if we have outbursts, all right? So I'm laying those rules right now. Thank you.
Okay, next is transportation plan. So this, again, the network is fairly clear. There's no change, but I do want to highlight that as the various north-south streets come down into the precinct, rather than continuing to Wilkes, as I mentioned, they will be connected in this plan to the collector loop system. And again, that discourages north-south traffic. It substantially reduces the numbers of new vehicles that we'll see on the north-south streets north up near Roblin and between the precinct plan and Roblin. So that's why it's done that way. We think it's a very effective and innovative solution to an east-west network and a north-south network. Again, it's a very particular challenge here in Charleswood. And then you'll also see the pathways that interconnect mid-block, if you will, between the collectors. So there's lots of opportunity to integrate the pathways with the neighborhoods as well as the roads with the neighborhoods. This is a good place to point out, Councillor Havixbeck, the change that you raised. This is the previous location, and then in the Figure 7 that's submitted, it's a little further north. And again, I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to hear from the Hart Trail, Friends of Hart Trail, about that. Servicing every new neighborhood needs to be serviced with urban infrastructure that's adequate to serve the new neighborhood. So there will be pipes, water pipes, land drainage pipes, and sewer pipes. This is a bit of a spaghetti drawing. I don't expect you to consider this, but the engineers have considered it very carefully, and it communicates all three aspects of public infrastructure required for the precinct. I should note on that last drawing that these very light green boundaries are the land drainage catchment boundaries. So all the water in those boundaries has to be pushed into the lakes and then eventually into pipes. Those boundaries go well south of the precinct, and they take in all the rest of those other four precincts, M, N, O, and P. So Ridgewood sits in the middle of those catchment boundaries as the water makes its way up north and into the river, or will make its way up and north into the river. This last one is the phasing plan, and again, that's not chronological. What we have here is every sub-area within the precinct has certain requirements. Some of the areas do not require major infrastructure and also don't require another sub-area to be developed. Some sub-areas have to wait for a sub-area to be developed because the pipes are on the far side of it, for example. And that's what this drawing shows. So the yellow ones don't need to wait for any other sub-area because they're adjacent to existing pipes. So 1, 8, 9, and 10. However, they also have some infrastructure constraints. So as if an Area 8 subdivision came forward, they'd have to provide this infrastructure. So this drawing is very helpful in identifying when something could happen, like what are the things required to let it happen, sequence. So Area 2 actually can't be developed. These pink ones can't be developed before 2 can't be developed before 1, and 3 can't be developed before 9 because the pipes go through those areas. So it's not complicated. That's just the way it is. Unless you Area 2 ran a pipe through here and somehow got permission from Area 1, which is a very unlikely scenario, as an example. The next section deals with some specific issues that people have raised, either city departments or stakeholders or our own team identified issues, and our response to those. And I'll take my cue from the committee because I know you're getting a little bit antsy about the time as to whether you'd like to proceed through these slides. You could see... Actually, just flip through them, please, Bob. Maybe I'll flip through them and you can see if anything catches your eye.
Sure.
Let's flip through them and then you can let me know if you'd like to stop. Transportation issues and responses. The servicing analysis. Issues and responses. Keep going. Cost-benefit study. Issues and response. Biological inventory and recommendations, that's the native plant solutions work issue and response. Next. Some of the work that the biological or that the native plant solutions undertook in terms of studying, there's about 8 clicks here. These are recommendations from native plant solutions for how to carry out development that is considerate of the biological inventory that was undertaken. Hart Trail and pathways, we've spent some time talking about that. Responses to the Hart Trail, what things we can do and have done in the plan. Next. Pedestrian and cycle facilities are provided. Probably better than in any neighborhood in Winnipeg. Next. Passive and active recreation sites. We work carefully with parks about the needs here. Next. Heritage, we've mentioned. Naming policies in the plan. Parkland dedication, noted. So this is an important one because it'll, if you can go back, it'll inform some of the discussion we anticipate. The policies in the plan identify the elements towards which public reserve lands may be used, including preservation lands. As you're aware, any development is required to give up 8% plus 2% in cash, sometimes 10%, and sometimes 8% plus 2% cash. And as is noted, there's an expectation for more than that in this precinct. Nothing in this plan prevents that. This plan encourages that. It identifies other means of doing that. For example, there's opportunities to swap land. There are opportunities to purchase land. There are vegetation easements, and you'll see that in one of the subdivision applications. So, and these tools have been used effectively elsewhere in the city. The Bois des Esprits was purchased land in addition to PR land. It's a great compromise. And I know that at least some of the landowners would be very open to the idea of land swap and land purchase to try and work towards that goal that's been identified by certain members of the public. And then I've just reiterated the first three key points that I provided at the beginning of the presentation.
Could you just go back to figure 7? This one's much smaller than the one that I've been looking at. Did any of the road closures change?
No.
Okay.
Well, Elmhurst... Was there an error in that? Elmhurst is meant to be closed. And that has been a significant tool in mitigating the concerns of everybody north of Elmhurst. We're quite happy to see that happen. We did speak with that that with Public Works.
What changed on this one then, on figure 7?
Okay, let me look. There should be an X there.
That's the only change on this slide, then?
Yes. Okay. There was a, I'm not sure whether it's this figure.
It's not recording you if you're away from the microphone.
I have a pointer. I could just stay here. This alignment, this collector road is shown as aligned along Municipal Road. Doug, is that correct? Is that right? Okay. So that there were earlier versions where that was slightly askew. So it was just adjusted to be correct.
Okay. I just want to go back to a couple of other documents. In your supporting documents, you've got a letter from Eileen McDonald. Mm-hmm. And I just want to verify that your intent is to have 50% of street names for future phases from the list recommended by the Charleswood Historical Society.
Yes.
Okay. In the letter from John Robson, Friends of the Heart Trail, and I see some Friends of the Heart Trail here, so they'll likely comment. In their letter, it says, it's contingent upon the inclusion of the proposed pedestrian overpass of the William Clement Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a discussion about that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Very clear that that's an important component. You know, as we mentioned, the William R. Clement Parkway, will bisect the Heart Trail significantly, and an overpass is seen as pretty important to maintaining the integrity of the trail.
Okay. In this document that we received at about 4 o'clock, I guess, mm-hmm. which we're all just getting, can you go through and tell us about some of the changes?
Sure.
None of us have read it, and nor have the people here who will be offering their thoughts.
And I unfortunately can't take responsibility for the timing. We're responding to very late input as well from...
I guess if we go through it page by page in the table of contents, is there anything significant that we should know about, or is it mostly nomenclature?
Okay, I want to make sure that we're looking at the same document, Councillor. Is it start with that bylaw 62, 2013?
Yeah.
And its legal wording. Is it the right one, James?
Yeah.
with the red.
It's got red in it.
Ah, okay. The precinct plan itself. Okay, there, you have two options. I gave you two options for going through these because I knew that it would be challenging. We can go through this with the red, or I have a table of wording that the clerk has received that is the same. It's just a different way of doing it. So I think we should go through the legal one because it's clearer, but it's your choice. Okay. Does everyone have this one then, the one that starts with the legal wording and it goes A, capital A, B, C, D? Maybe the clerk can clarify, please. And it has figures appended to the back. It's about 5 pages long. Okay, thank you. So item A, we just deleted the date, and there was a draft. Item B, the figures, there was a word concept in a lot of them, so we've taken concept out. So they need to be renamed, and the second part of B, that renaming happens throughout the document. Item C, there was only one report included from the Native Plant Solutions, and it was the scientific findings. Citizens for Charleswood Habitat Preservation asked that we include the second document, which was the Habitat and Species Recommendation, so that was added in. And D is just a naming problem. So it's accurately named Greenway Network now. And E, everyone's following. I don't want to go too far for it. Okay. There's some wording, again, a commentary from one of our stakeholders that in that section we said the Native Plant Solutions report outlines land areas, but it does not outline land areas. It describes land areas. So wording change. Then we actually do add a policy that I mentioned regarding naming. So if public parks are named in subdivision plans, site signage, or other relevant documents or signs, such names shall be chosen from the Charleswood Historical Names List as provided by the Charleswood Historical Society or its successor. It's a welcomed change, I think, from just about everybody. There was some clarification in G. It wasn't clear in the wording of the policy that the neighborhoods should not only connect east to west, but that they should connect north to south as well. So that item G clarifies that. Item H is an error. Item I was an error. That was a cross-reference that is no longer relevant. Item J was an error in the heading, just 6.4.3 to 6.4.7. Item K, again, referring to the report I just mentioned in a preceding item. Item L, we learned fairly late that the city... I can slow down.
Seeing the match. I'm sorry, you're going through the list of changes, and I'm going through the revised documents, and the red, which are your proposed changes, do not match the documents word for word. I'm sorry. So this is, you know, this is something that our planning department will need to go through, I think, in more detail. We're not going to sit here, take up all these people's time going through line by line, because the wording is not matching. It's completely different intent in the document.
Okay. It's to your discretion. I did not want to have this introduced at this stage, but this is how it's unfolded. I realize that it's disruptive to the conversation. I do think it matches, but perhaps I made some mistakes.
It doesn't match.
Tommy, just a quick question. So is this you guys that made the changes, or is it kind of advice from our planning department?
A lot of it is advice from our planning department. I think it would be appropriate to maybe ask. I don't want to speak for your planning department or the other departments. I think it would be appropriate to have them speak to that question. The changes, I think it's fair to say, are inconsequential. I realize it might be disruptive, but they are not consequential other than the two positive ones that introduce new policies.
Let's give you one example.
Okay.
Section 642, your change in the document, if public parks are named in subdivision plans, such names shall be chosen from the Charleswood Historical Names List as provided by the Charleswood Historical Society or its successor, Or do you mean if public parks are named in subdivision plans, site signage, or other relevant documents are signed, such names shall be chosen from the historical names? They're different, because in one you mentioned streets only, and in one you mentioned parks. And so is it both?
Okay, I see your point. Yeah, I see your point, Councillor. They are different. I'd like to take the legal wording because this is a track change version, which shouldn't be a formal. The track change version was meant to help explain the legal wording. So the legal wording is what we've submitted, and that's what you should take your cue from, is this.
The red line.
No. Any track change version should not be taken as as the authority. This is what the clerk has received, and that's what's meant to be caught up in the track change, and apologize for that error.
So trying to match these two documents probably is not a good idea.
No.
So stick with the one that you're referring to, this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we can back up or we can continue on?
Yeah, please proceed.
Okay, so heading M, this is a result as a late request from Parks to substitute a number of changes to this section. So section 7.3 would be replaced in its entirety with the text in front of you. There's no substantial changes there. It's only wording, and it's preferred wording. We learned recently that the city's administration would like to move away from the words active transportation and towards the words pedestrian and cycling facility. So that's one of the changes in there. It's not substantive, it's wording preferences. So we've incorporated the best we can with requests. Policy N, a minimum of 50% of new streets legally opened within each sub-area, and in no case not less than one street shall be chosen from the Charleswood Historical Names List as provided by the Charleswood Historical Society or successor. And then a new definition of recreational pathways that was missing. That's it.
Identifies that it had to be 2.4 meters wide. Is that
right? Correct.
All right. Does that further questions, Paul? Okay. All right. Well, as the applicant, you'll have the opportunity to come back and respond to questions as they're put forward over the next few hours. And we will entertain no new information, but certainly have you respond to what's put forward. So I would suggest you be have your pen at the ready and be taking notes.
I certainly will. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Don. All right. Continuing the public representation, for those in favor, and I will ask if you're prepared to come and take your 5 minutes or if you're just registered here to demonstrate that at this point you're in favor. So I'll Scott Minty. Just in favor. Lynn Jones. Support. Ravi Joshi. Susan Russell. Thank you. Jeff Pratt. Greg Davey. Philip Rose. Roman Demolian, Roland? Roland's not here. Okay. Lynn Dupuy. Okay. Eric Vogan. Robert Kerslick. Robert Kerslake. John Morrow. Douglas Scott. Abe and Marlene Friesen. Jennifer and Ryan DeLooney. Thank you. Bill Eva. Ian McKinnon. Mike Armstrong. And that concludes our support. It's not our practice to read the addresses.
Just these two names.
Okay. We also have two folks that have written to us, and they have identified that they're in support of the project. Eileen McDonald and Lois Karen. All right, we will now move to those in opposition, and again, I will reiterate my comments at the outset that everyone has 5 minutes, but we would like the presentations to bring forward new information if possible. If, in fact, as the people in support of the project have demonstrated, they were happy to voice their support on the record, but did not come forward, so we'll see how this goes. My first presenter is a Mr. Harold Strom. I'm going to actually, Mrs. Strom, before we start, hold, can I just have those back for a second? I'm going to queue up a couple of people so that we don't have the transit time. Len Van Roon would be next. Otto Amet and Linda Bowman. So those are our next three. So you're in the queue. If you want to come down to the bench here behind the podium, please do so. Sir, you have five.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been a resident of Charleswood for 27 years. I've been to every one of these town halls. One of the things I'd like to say is about those charts. I don't think it actually represents the majority of the view of the people of Charleswood, because at each one of these, I noticed most people did not sign those sheets. They just left after, because they were ongoing and long, and a lot of people were upset. This is what I've got to say here. There's two terms that, since the beginning of this process, when we all first found out that Qualico wanted to develop in Charleswood, the Ridgewood precinct, one of the terms is green spaces or greenways. And then the other one is natural areas, and these are being used interchangeably, and I think that's incorrect. First of all, natural areas are what comes to be over a long period of time. Its growth is influenced by nature. It's what is home to many species of plants and animals, versus green space, which tends to be man-made, consists of trees and plants put there artificially to suit the particular development. They include signs and sidewalks as well. Most birds and animals don't tend to make this their home. And I also have a question. I don't know. I've never seen a for sale sign in any of these areas. How does a – and it was a big surprise to everybody when they found out that there was going to be this development by Qualico or led by Qualico. How does – a big company like Qualico actually acquire like 60% of this Ridgewood precinct, you know, do companies like this have an inside scoop to acquire land at agricultural prices and then turn around and have the city rezone them as residential? There's a big profit. I'm just wondering, how do I get in on that deal? That's all I have to say. Oh, also here, this is a YouTube video that's against this precinct. There's 1,000 hits, only 3 dislikes. There was a CTV poll a few weeks ago, 74% against the development. And this is a petition with comments from my website. That's all I have to say.
Our next speaker, Len Van Roon. 5 minutes, sir.
It's going to take me a couple seconds to hook up the iPad here. I'm still plugged into Landmarks.
No problem. Go ahead. Take your time.
So my name is Len Van Roon. I'm president of the Charleswood Historical Society and presenting on behalf of the society. A number of individuals will be giving personal opinions as well. Interesting angle there. The Charleswood Historical Society was very happy to indulge in 3 consultations. We did see some movement on street names, and Eileen has voiced her support for the changes that happened there that both combine, and we thank Landmark for that, that now combine both some natural areas and some heritage names that reflect the earlier community. There are 2 other positive changes made, but we still have about 8 outstanding issues, a number of which we haven't received replies to, so we stand quite firmly in opposition to the existing plan. We have a habitat, Old Pembina Trail Habitat Preservation Trail. It preserves prairie, we hope, in Area 2. We've been given 30 feet from Qualico along the 1,000-foot line west of Area 2, which means there's continuity, so that's good. But I'm sorry, 30 feet isn't enough. Maybe 60, maybe 80. Maybe someone will speak to tree roots if we plant oaks. The vision was actually expanded to follow this trail from the passage that 200 years ago Métis were following and go right from Oak Park all the way to Oak Bluff. But there's a wetland that cuts it off, so there's no way to get through. So 10 kilometers of trail isn't very good. And in case I run out of time, we are really absolutely not okay with no natural wetland and no natural grassland in an area that was predominantly grassland and in an area where natural wetlands, there's 7 major ones, are quite different than the retention ponds. So we do have a First Nations tribute trail that was taken off. 6,000 years of native heritage, millions of bison coming through. I'll just show you the area along the oaks that comes through here. This area is wetland, and it's slated for development, and there's no connection with the path that would continue in the next precincts towards Oak Bluff. So that's a problem. Over here is a First Nations tribute trail, the only oaks that were on the Hart Trail in 1928 when the first aerial photos were taken. There's a patch of oaks and a beautiful circular feature that we just completed an $8,000 preliminary ecological study on. We've got 8 to 15 years for that area, according to the people that are developing in Area 3. So we think we've got the time to do due diligence in that particular area. But that broken connection, it's just not good enough to leave one piece out and have a 10-kilometer trail. That's also to the west, which is to the west is where the landmark planning suggested animal movement and people movement should go, not across Wilkes, but it's broken there and stopped. New communities. I guess we have a question. If there's 30,000 people or 60,000 people, that are south of Wilkes as the new developers come in the next 23 years in new development, how do they access the Hart Trail? Because they'll want to. Some of my best friends come from River Heights, North River Heights, Fort Garry, to ride the Hart Trail. These people won't be riding across fields, and we haven't put those our transit corridors in place. We haven't planned anything for the next five constituencies. So if we get 2,000 or 5,000 or 8,000 people wanting to access the Hart Trail and the Greenway that Charleswood Historical Society is proposing, it just won't be able to handle the capacity, I don't think. I will whip through some slides of the passage, which is a tremendous heritage from Berkeley Street and a provincial site. This is the area right here that's looked the same for a long period of time, and we call it the Bison Pound Wetland. Even if it doesn't, we know millions of bison came through here. We know where they crossed the river. But when we had our study done in this area, as a wetland, it has about 17 deer bed down on it, and we are not protecting these areas. This is what it looked like in 1972. It's a unique circular feature. We're doing due diligence. An overview. It's a little bit hard to see, but I think you can see it from the front. We've got prairie and oaks, this should magically turn on, coming through here off the Hart Trail. It's wonderful, the amount of oaks. Landmark planning is a plus. Has saved 3.9 acres in the area plan, which will come up later, connecting the Hart Trail to my father's property and the property that I reside on here. But you get down here, you go through an area two prairie, and it stops dead because this area of wetland is now medium density development. It originally was a five-acre soccer field. Sorry, not acceptable. There's no way out towards Charleswood Road to cross to all the new developments. There's no way for animals move to the left. And there is a beautiful greenway that comes through here that's quite interesting by lakes, but no existing habitat. And we don't think the animals are going to move this way. I would like to state we propose augmenting the Hart Trail and saving a habitat corridor that's much greater than some of its part. The Friends of the Hart Trail executive vision is much narrower than ours and most, and all but two of our members. I got a vote 28-2. 99 feet plus something isn't good enough for us when we're missing out existing grassland and prairie. We are prepared to bring money to the table if we have 3 years or 5 years or seven and work through two centennials. We think we can bring $1 to $4 million and buy and purchase and be involved in land trading to create a vision that creates a corridor that's much more than the existing one. We are not happy with the current plan, and we oppose the current plan, though we appreciate some of the changes that have been made. I do find it troublesome that when two or three changes are made that are positive, and there's six or eight that are outstanding, that members come and express their solidarity with the whole plan. 99 feet takes you to the middle of the ditch, and we know there's an augmentation policy, but we're not sure exactly what. Charleswood Centennial Greenway, you'll be hearing a lot more of. It's not exactly the same greenway. Some of it is shared, but some of it is realigned with a wild side along lakes. It's moved so that we save areas of nesting. Assiniboine Forest was just an idea. I was a student on the committee that saved over a square mile of Assiniboine Forest. We break off the connection if we don't do this corridor right. And when we did Assiniboine Forest, we had two 30-minute meetings, put forward a centennial project. Three people worked for 2 years, and we got Assiniboine Forest as an amazing legacy. And what we're proposing is the same type of legacy to expand the vision of what we could have in the middle of this area. Wetland preservation in a corridor with continuity. There's seven wetlands. Some of them are really priceless. Grassland preservation in an augmented corridor. What are we saving for grassland? I know CCHP wants 40 to 60 acres. We don't know if that's possible. Maybe it needs to be in one of the next precincts, but we do need to save some pieces and a large component of grassland somewhere. We do have respect for Métis and First Nations tribute trails, and they combine a heritage vision, maybe even a possible provincial park at some point, and a natural vision in one, and that's very much a part. If you look at the oaks, they're 8%. A lot of them are in the west. There's small areas of them. We haven't done a bad job of saving oaks, but grassland and wetland, which were the major components, not acceptable at all. Everyone should look up some of the excellent work done by the City Naturalists that shows the natural significant areas. back of my dad's house, here's some a nesting pair of birds that can only exist if you have proper habitat saved for them, and they're on the endangered list. Native plant solutions, several people will talk about. What a wonderful report that Qualico put together. They did an exceptional job in commissioning a top firm who went out, and in February I saw my first copy of a report that said most of the diversity is where you have interfaces of wetland and forest, grassland and forest, wetland and grassland. 80%, I think it was. Wonderful recommendations. I do not see that wonderful report reflected, and I think it's something we could work on and do much better with it. We do not accept this as adequate. Again, the vote was 28-2 when we talked about it, and the single feature when we looked at, I think, eight features was wetland, grassland, and forest must be preserved. We must do our best for that. We're asking, in naming, we're pleased for some of the veterans that lost their lives. We're asking that an oak grove, we put this forward and we didn't hear back yet after our consultation, but we preserve an oak grove that might otherwise not be saved, be named after the 19 people who lost their lives in the First and Second World War. And we don't care where the street names or park names come. If we have one grove that's symbolic of that, then we can catch up later on. We don't even mind if in the next three or four precincts, three of the people who died lived on Liberty Street. Perfect if we add some names from that. But again, we combine heritage and natural preservation. I put Bill Clement's picture on here because Bill Clement was really a master at sitting in coffee shops and listening and sometimes changing his opinion on what happens. And I think there's some really strong feeling that isn't necessarily being accurately reflected by the executives of a couple of the organizations here. Our walk on the wild side concept, which means you don't just stick lakes that are used for drainage in the middle of open fields. You look at where you might place them. That was received positively by Landmark. But have we seen it reflected in any of the area plans? Not one. So it's nice to say, oh, that's a good idea, but we would like to do an ongoing consultation. Active transportation alternatives, there's 11 to 17 crossings if you go an extra kilometer to ride on the corridors beside the streets. But you only have four crossings if active transportation looks at the option of moving along a greenway corridor that has less intersections. And we talked to Barb on the liaison committee of the Heart Trail. And she was very astute. She said, you know what, if you put active transportation in the wrong place and hundreds or thousands of people are using it, people aren't stupid. They are going to use the Heart Trail if it's closer to them. If they like riding by nature, they will not use something. So we have to design it right or it won't be used and the Heart Trail will be severely, severely impacted. We did submit a report to Landmark Planning with one of our former president of Oak Park High School, one of our youth members. And we hope that's taken into account. Delay staging of critical habitat areas. We would just like the staging, maybe give us 3 to 5 years and then put in housing, but in some of the critical areas, if staging is delayed, we think we have the opportunity to raise additional resources. And we have not seen transportation studies of trail crossings. We haven't seen, it's harder to work with, I know from talking to some of the engineers, but we were really good at estimating the number of cars, but we're not good at estimating how many people will be riding bicycles, using skateboards, moving along a trail, how dangerous it will be for them to cross. I did an estimate from the existing data and found Fairmont, which Oakdale is closed, several others are closed, 6,000 crossings of the Heart Trail by vehicles in a place where all kinds of people are supposed to be moving. So you might limit the number of crossings, but if they're not dealt with adequately, it's a real problem. So we come to the Bill Clement Parkway, the thing that some of us are not against. We feel it has to go in, somewhat hesitantly, but it has to go in right so that animals aren't massacred, so that people can get over it, and it's an absolute block for animal movement. And have we seen the plans? No. The Heart Trail has seen them, but Charleswood Historical, which has been walking through the area and looking, we don't have any idea. What we would propose is, somewhat like with Chief Pregwa's Trail Bridge, give us something that you think will work, but if it has stairs, we're not going to be satisfied with it. If you can get across the Bill Clement Parkway, but no animals can, Well, if Fort White can look at a land bridge alternative, I don't see why we can't at least look at it as a possibility. It's funded by citywide money, from what I know, on a major project. So I think we should be looking at a couple of alternatives that present the option of providing more continuity, and maybe we have to go for one that's less of an option. And if you move off the Hart Trail, I've walked through that area 50 times. I've sat there for afternoons in where the Bill Clement Parkway is. And if you take a young aspen forest and divert the Hart Trail through it, I'm sorry, there's no forest left. If you do a grade separation, you're starting over. So, yes, we would really like to see what it looks like. If I can finish off with my very last point, and it is, I must say, it's really hard to follow a five-minute presentation that gets 40 minutes and trying to address things we've been working on for a long time.
Sure, we want to hear your point, sir, but we do have 70 presenters, so if you could conclude.
Here's our last point. This is the Hearthstone Forest, and it's a thin strip of forest that's left, and there is no wetland saved, and it's magnificent in there. And there is no grassland, and there's magnificent grassland. So if you look at the Hart Trail that comes along here, my last slide will be a picture of the four-lane road that's going to come through here, then the four-lane road that is going to go through and take out Oaks and Wetland and Margidi Park. And we would just love to see an alternative. If my magic works, I don't care if there's a road that goes underneath, I would just, or where it goes, or above, or around, but I would love to see that piece of forest that's looked at. And I think I'll try and get a closing slide and just zip to it so that we have a little bit of, and thank you for your patience.
Councillor Havlicek has some questions for
you. Okay, I would just show you that, again, this piece of green is 3.9 acres that Qualico has set aside to join my parents' property to the Hart Trail. Wonderful preservation of oaks. But there's a road going through it, very much like the road that's cutting the Hearthstone Forest in half. And the road cuts right through one of the highest quality pieces of grassland. Just haven't looked at it, even though it was pointed out in the inventory. And if you look at the top of the Hart Trail, there's some beautiful augmentation here next to Van Ruin Prairie Garden, named after someone I know quite well. And so they have augmented this on their plan, the green on the top. But if it would augment it twice as much, you'd have a forest edge. So I think we can do better. I do appreciate the consultation that's occurred, but we haven't heard back on lake placement, any survey results for highland or lowland. There's a whole series of outstanding things, and we look forward to further consultation and hopefully changes. Councillor Havisbeck, thank you for your patience. You had a question?
I have a few. And okay. Lynn, thank you for coming today and for sharing your passion for this and for all of our conversations. Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, we had many Charleswood 100 celebrations and we had time to chat. But I want to go through some of the points that you raised. In terms of the wetlands, the wetlands are identified as storm retention. And I think that's a good question that we need to take back on whether the existing wetlands coincide with what the developer is proposing. And my guess is some might not. And then how can we look at that? So I think that's something we'll take back and ask
Thank
the administration.
Thank you for looking into that.
In terms of the path networks, you mentioned that skateboards would be on it. And my expectation of any trail and paths would be similar to the Hart Trail consistency and not a smoothed kind of tarp asphalt finish. So it would not allow use of skateboards. I don't know if that was a priority or if that was just a...
If I can respond to that, we have a 22-year-old member who is very much in touch with the Oak Park community and a number of students. And what she said to me was, the way students and young people would like to move between Margidi Park and the skateboard park and Adrenaline Adventures, some of them will want to move on skateboards, some of them will cycle, some of them will be on rollerblades, because they move. These things are all tracks of active transportation. Some would love to ski. We think that in a greenway plan, if we're given 3 to 5 years, we can move 20 feet or 80 feet or 190 feet off the Hart Trail and augment some of the greenways with a greenway that on its very outside edge would give an opportunity for some faster active transportation users. We just had a race, Pain in the Assiniboine, last week, and they tried to mitigate some of the damage, but it was deadly. As soon as you get, we took 75 people out for a walk with one of the city naturalists. and 10 or 12 bicycles came by, and it was really dangerous. So I just don't see how, if we don't plan our active transportation properly and in the correct location, I think there is room to look at some alternatives and then maybe discount them if they don't work.
Point that you raised, animals across the Clement Parkway. Mm-hmm. And I met with a, I'm sure you know her, but I can't think of her name, and I'm going to ask the naturalist this when we have a discussion with the administration, but there was a major study done recently by the University of Manitoba on the flow of deer mm-hmm. and how they move throughout yes. the area. So we'll get some input on that. I just want you to know that it's not just out there, that we are going to ask the questions.
It may not be feasible to move animals across a pathway, but Fort White Alive is looking at joining the Assiniboine Forest to an area, a development that has 30% parkland preserved. And I think maybe it's a model that I'm in the process of talking to the developer that's working with them. So we would like to see an alternative put forward that addresses a broader range of animals, people, cyclists using a path. And if we have to go for a less expensive alternative, let's really take a good look at it and see that it works for the whole community. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, Otto Ament.
There you go, sir. Mr. Chairman, councillors, ladies and gentlemen, I appear as a resident of Charleswood, 22 years, but I am also a member of the Charleswood Historical Society. I am going to be brief. My opposition to the plan is based upon a lack of wetland and grassland preservation. It is opposed to the plan because, in my view, the plan does not provide adequate noise and traffic resolutions, and I believe that the plan is premature. I think that any plan of this magnitude for an area of the city that has the history and the culture that Charleswood has, the semi-rural ambience that we have, to change that, I think we have to be very circumspect. We don't want to make changes now that our grandchildren are going to be angry with us for doing. I think that before any plan of this kind can be implemented, we need to have the completion of the Bill Clement Parkway. And we need to know what's going to happen to Wilkes. With all of this additional traffic, we need to know how this traffic and all of the additional traffic that is going to be generated is going to be taken care of. And closing, what street did the gentleman from Landmark Saves was being closed? I can't fathom the closing of Elmer. I mean, this is the first that I have heard of that. I just can't fathom that. And rerouting all the traffic to Community Road, I mean, that's, in my view, I'm not an expert, but I think that's a foolish idea. So I said I would be brief. Those are the basics of my opposition to the plan. I know that there are many people here who are going to be more comprehensive in their reasons for opposition, but those are basically mine. Thank you.
Linda Bowman, and Linda, we've got you here twice, Al and Linda, and then Linda. Is Al here too?
Al's here too.
Do you want to present together?
I don't think he was planning
no.
to.
No. You're in opposition. We'll just. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Linda.
He signed my paper. Is that good enough?
Okay. 5 minutes.
I'm Linda Bowman. I live at 615 Laxdal Road, and I've lived in Charleswood. We have lived in Charleswood for some 42 years. So we've seen and not seen development. We have sat through lengthy presentations put on by hired folks for planners. When they get approved, most often, the planner, the developer, does what they want. So all the blah, blah, blah that we heard tonight, and we've heard it over and over and over at every presentation, with all due respect to all the time and energy put in, There's no guarantee that what they say is actually going to come to fruition. So today, councillors who vote on this, you hold the future of many homeowners currently in Charleswood. For us today, it's an important vote. The reason why is that the exorbitant taxes and the lack of anything positive happening in our area after paying those taxes has been a growing source of discontent. The past few years, we mistakenly looked forward to some improvements. To name a few, we asked for speed bumps to make our street Laxdal Road safer for our children, slow down the mega traffic that travels that route, and it was turned down by the city. We had a plan with our previous councillor and discussed at length to upgrade our ditches, replace culverts that were sinking into the ground. Nothing ever happened. It never had done. We have culverts that are almost out of sight in Charleswood. It's really pathetic. We had a plan. There is a plan. I believe it's still on the books. To open Shaftesbury Boulevard to a four-lane from Wilkes to Roblin that would greatly improve the traffic flow to the William Clement Parkway. The traffic now comes down to Elmhurst off of Wilkes, over the tracks, over to Laxdal, down Laxdal to the light and the elementary school, turn left to get to Clement Park, William Clement Parkway. It's ridiculous when all they'd have to do is go ahead with the plan to open Shaftesbury, have all the trucks and everything else head off of Wilkes, down Shaftesbury, down Roblin to Clement, to the bridge. It makes sense. The one time approved, another plan was for the Ridgewood Corridor to hook up with Keniston. That sounded like a great idea. It was actually going to go straight through Tuxedo to Keniston. And I believe when Mr. Clement was councillor, there was an extra tax put on the people of Charleswood to pay for this corridor that was to go through. But what happened? A subdivision in South Tuxedo was approved by our city and effectively squashed the plan. So as our planner suggested, he made a comment that we should all be good citizens. We should all try to think of the city as a whole. We should all try to get along, be good to each other. We've been very good to the city of Winnipeg with our tax dollars, but we haven't seen it reciprocated too well. In the meantime, since 1986, our property taxes have increased over 50%. And we'd just like to know what we're going to get for that. So Charleswood has many old roads, ditches, no sidewalks, poor lighting, culverts sinking into oblivion, but our taxes would indicate otherwise. We have endured the city's lack of respect ever since we joined Unicity. We speak from experience, and when I say Charleswood was better off, it was better off as a municipality. Developers have their own agenda. It's up to our councillors to do the right thing for the homeowners, the taxpayers, and the voters. We are against this development because of the blatant lack of planning to the area of Charleswood. We need better planning. We need, for not just the developer, Qualico builds beautiful developments. So their presentation talks about a really substantial development that I'm sure is going to be wonderful. It will be wonderful if you live in the development. If you don't, I think Charleswood's going to take a real hit. We're concerned that the streets will be most affected by this development. They're already in poor condition, and we're never meant for current heavy traffic, never mind increased heavy traffic. Am I being humorous, Mr. Fielding? Did I say something funny? I didn't mean to. With no sidewalks, it is always a huge safety concern when children have to walk to their schools, our elderly, our moms and dads try to get to the bus, or just go for a walk. There are no sidewalks. They walk with the traffic. They are a considerable risk every day. More traffic means more risk. Wilkes is long overdue for a major upgrade. Everybody knows that if they travel Wilkes. Every day, people play a game of chicken at Elmhurst trying to get onto Wilkes. It's very dangerous. The street carries a huge volume of traffic, and a plan to add 8,000 more residents next to this street, so badly needing a major upgrade, is unthinkable and unacceptable. Where is the plan for the extension of the William Clement Parkway? Does it make sense to have that in place before the subdivision gets built? Where is the traffic going to go? Correct me if I'm wrong, but so far, there is no plan to extend the parkway before the development takes place. There is no plan to upgrade Wilkes before this development takes place. Are there plans to upgrade the old existing roads in Charleswood? And if so, at whose expense? Because if it happens now, it will be to accommodate the developer. The discontent in Charleswood is growing and will surely become much more apparent if we are forced to pay for local improvements as a result of this development. This is not our venture and should not be at our expense. Because of our unique situation in regards to habitat and wildlife in the subject area, it appears as to has not been given much, if any, consideration. Because they cannot speak does not mean they are not important. To bulldoze this area without a plan for habitat and wildlife is unacceptable. Surely we have learned enough from the environmentalists, animal protection agencies, shows like The Nature of Things, that we are not the only living creatures to inhabit this earth. Can we not plan to preserve a unique natural habitat in Manitoba, which this area is one of? So many issues need so much further consideration before adding 8,000 more people into this area. It's hard to believe it's already at the voting stage. Where are the proper considerations for the people of Charleswood? What have you councillors done to address these issues before you vote on whether to approve this development? We do not like to think that our councillors we vote in to protect our area might be there to promote their own agenda and therefore might rubber stamp any plan that comes along without some checks and balances. For this development to proceed, we implore our councillors to do what is right. Get out your checks and balances. Approving this subdivision is like putting the horse before the cart. Sending heavy equipment into this area would be such a travesty, it's unimaginable. I'm humoring you again, Ms. Havisbeck. It's really quite annoying. Sending heavy equipment into this area would be such a travesty, it's unimaginable that you would, in good conscience, approve it. Please say no to this plan of subdivision.
Thank you. Any questions? Folks, I've been gracious on this, but this is not rainbow stage. And I'd appreciate that we not have applause at the end of presentations. That's just the way this forum operates. And they're my roles, not yours. So I can shut this whole thing down if you want. So I'd appreciate it if you comply with the decorum of the chamber.
I have questions.
Mrs. Bowman, we have questions for you. You sort of came. Yes, if you could. Come back down because we're recording this session, so we need you on the microphone. Thank you. Thank you for returning. Councillor Habitsbeck.
My apologies if you took my laughter. You made the comment that we're putting the horse before the cart, and it's usually the other way around when we're doing something backwards. I just want to ask you, though, how long you've lived in Charleswood?
How long?
Yeah.
42 years.
And your house that you're in now was built in 1987, correct?
Yes.
And who rezoned that subdivision area? How did you come to be in that house? It was built in 1987.
We lived there since 1971. We had a house there. We moved it.
Well, it says it was built in 1987, so I'm just curious.
Yes, and we built a new house in 1987.
So that was allowed,
on the same spot.
Then, is my point. You asked a question about the Clement Parkway, and this is something that I have pushed for very strongly in 2.5 years on council. And so I'm going to ask the question of Louis Escobar, who wrote the Transportation Master Plan and, in fact, had to deal with my motion to move up the Clement Parkway. So could I ask your comments about that and when, and to answer Mrs. Bowman's question about where it is in the plan and some detail on that?
Is it on?
You're on, Louis.
Okay, thank you. As Councillor Havick-Speck noted, the Charles Wood Parkway extension, or sorry, the Bill Clement Parkway extension, was moved to the short-term time frame, which is to be built before 2016. We are in the process of that is part of the Transportation Master Plan. However, we need to start the process of doing functional and detailed designs, and that hasn't started yet, and it's a function of the capital program. Every year there's a new plan, there's a capital program that is proposed, and council as a whole evaluates that plan, and they make the priorities. So I would assume that something will be coming up for next year's plan, from the moment that this master plan was approved till now, which is a little over not quite 2 years. Money hasn't been in place in the capital program to start the process of related to the extension of the William R. Clement Parkway. But I would assume that that is something that will be moved forward relatively quickly because the direction that was given is to have that completed by 2016.
It's your plan, but...
It's the city's plan.
A serious plan. Do you think you'll have the money to do the extension?
I can't speak on that matter.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just a comment, you know, this is a plan driven by developers and the landowners mm-hmm. in the area, and there's some 50 or 60 that are involved in this. This is not the city's plan. We're doing our best to navigate what we have in front of us, and that's one piece of many mm-hmm. pieces of a puzzle here.
So. We're well aware it is being driven by the developer.
Okay.
But we're well aware that you as councillors have a great deal of input into whether this goes ahead or not.
Right, and your comments that I would approve something and just give it a rubber stamp,
I would hope. I would hope.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, our next three speakers are... Okay, next three speakers, okay? I'm going to take it to 7:30. Okay. Steve Coates, Rodney Cattu, and Helen Wozniak. Are they still? Thank you. Steve Coates?
Yep.
Okay, Steve Coates. Rodney, are you here? Helen Wozniak? No. Inga Thorsteinsson? Are you joining us? Okay. Following Inga, we have Claudette Lupu and Mike Stairs.
Just opposed.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, wait, Michael Stairs wants to talk.
Okay, all right. And that'll take us to 7:30. Ms. Thorsteinsson, 5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. What I say might just be from emotion, being a Charles Wood resident, but it is speaking from the heart. I just wish to record my opposition. Qualico is just a business out to make money, and City Council is supposed to be looking out for us. In the cold reality of climate change and what's been happening in recent years with heavy rain events, if you vote to develop this land, I hope that you're not setting up future generations to pay for the consequences of poor land management. I am trying to imagine, depending on lift stations and storm sewer systems for future heavy deluges, this whole business of our recent heavy deluges that we've had in the past few years has got me feeling very apprehensive about taking this wetland out of circulation, paving it open, and piping all that stuff into the Assiniboine. In my dreams, I'd really like to keep that precinct area north of Wilkes as public parkland, undeveloped, able to absorb and mitigate overland flooding, and imagine that greenbelt for future generations. It would be a wonderful dream, and it would help mitigate the overland flooding. I really appreciate the ditches in Charleswood because I have a dry basement. The land is able to absorb the heavy rainfalls that are happening more and more frequently. And I hope that this is given very serious consideration by Council. Thank you very much.
Any questions? No? Seeing none, thank you. Mike Stairs.
Hello. What I would like to say is I lived in River Heights quite a few years of my life. I moved to Charleswood because I wanted that country living. I could have moved out of town, paid less taxes and all the rest, but I like it. It's in the city. I got all the bush. I like the ditches. I love the wildlife. I love that whole Ridgewood area with the bush. All the deer are in there. I do deal with Aaron McCants, who's the person that you were looking for on studying deer movement, and I know a lot of the deer movement with her because I deal with her quite a bit, and they use that corridor all the time, and that's their main thoroughfare, and I'd hate to see it disappear. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Maurice Doucette, do you wish to speak? Maurice Doucette? Gone. Gwen Jameson, wish to speak? Lance Bell, wish to speak? Come on down. I'll ask Stan Hagberg. Would you like to speak? If so, come down. Okay, Mr. Bell, 5 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, councillors,
thank you.
Applicants, I'm a Charleswood resident for most of my life. It is a great spot to live. It's not Charles Street, it's Charleswood. It shouldn't be redeveloped. We heard the applicant talk in many different slangs, many different converting of words, as our first speaker said. There is so many reasons to not develop. One is that there is many areas adjacent to that area to develop. Just go across this, across Wilkes. There's tons of farmland that can be used in order to facilitate such a development if the city really needs to. If you really want that tax money, if you really want to change and keep our city growing, very easy. I'm sure the farmers would love to sell it, make some on their farmland. To use that strip of land from the perimeter highway to Shaftesbury is a shame. To get rid of the Trans-Canada Trail, the Hart Trail, would be a shame because of all the previous speakers have noted, and some very good ones, I must add. If you think about Linden Woods and White Ridge, they're adjacent to each other. They're a kitty corner. They're still called the same, they're not the same community, pardon me, to the residents, but they're close. We could also do that with Charleswood and all the farmland that's south of Wilkes. And I have to admit that my good friends live across Wilkes who received a letter saying that there was some community outreach by the applicant. I personally didn't receive anything anytime. I can't attest for seeing it, but my wife said there wasn't. And I know someone on Dale Boulevard, they did not receive anything, and they're one of the biggest stakeholders because that is, from what I've heard, I don't know any of the previous information, but I'd sure like to have a copy of the report that, by the way, was submitted to you, changed at 4 o'clock. I don't know why you would accept a changed report at 4 o'clock before the meeting at 5:30 to have a good chance to review it. There was a couple of things that I did note, a couple of mistakes that were made. If one of the previous speakers said that there was a change, the developers will change anything in order to get their way. It is for money. They're not doing it for the goodness of their own heart. There will be a profit involved. If the applicants can't make a report and have the information consistent between the two different reports that you guys read, you guys have to question the authenticity of the report and their details of that report. And that could only make me imagine what's going to happen later on in life when there's going to be development there. You guys have a chance to do the right thing today and not take into account the possible tax revenue. You can choose to preserve Charleswood for what it is, a great spot to live, a community that's full of life, and it's known to be parkland. Thank you, everyone.
No question. Thank you, Mr. Bell. Mr. Hagberg will be our last speaker before we break. Okay. Sir, you have 5 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Someone give him a hand.
Oh, I don't need a hand.
No, sorry. There you go. Thank you. Mr. Hagberg.
Yes, my name is Stan Hagberg. I lived in River Heights for 28 years, and we moved to Charleswood 15 years ago because we liked the feel of it, the extra space. I concur with the previous speakers objecting to things that are missing from the plan. One of the areas where I see the plan is incomplete is where the plan was based on Precinct Q and called Ridgewood South and dealt with all the area south of the Hart Trail. And all of a sudden, earlier this year, they have included several areas north of the Hart Trail. Now, when I look through the report and the plan and the development, it deals an awful lot with new communities, as discussed in the Complete Communities document. However, the area north of the Hart Trail would more properly come actually in that complete communities. It is classed as a recent community and goes by different guidelines. It is not a new community. It doesn't get all the transportation and the commercial and everything else that would go in a new community. And this plan just completely ignores that there is a difference with those areas north of the Hart Trail. And so that's one reason that I object to the plan. There are other incompletenesses with the transportation planning that there just seem to be a lot of loose ends with it. And that's my feeling about it. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Hagberg? All right. We'll adjourn, and we will resume at 7:55.